Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. What makes a late night show go? Nightcap, Pop's new comedy series, answers with a cast led by Ali Wentworth. Executive producer Brad Roller, a late night alum himself, joins me next in an internet radio exclusive. Next question. How smart and numerous will smart TV applications get this holiday season and beyond? Tech Tango Today host Francie Black brings that answer on later this hour. And it wouldn't be a holiday season without an offering from the Hallmark Hall of Fame. On Saturday night, this long-running television attraction becomes a Hallmark Channel exclusive with A Heavenly Christmas, starring Kirsten Davis, Eric McCormick, and Shirley MacLaine. An exclusive preview next hour with executive producers Jack Rosenbart and Linda Kent. Also ahead, our classic trivia question of the week, take 2. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, live from New York on Blog Talk Radio. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Brought to you by Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later in the program. Happy to have you aboard on this Thanksgiving week Tuesday of 2016. We welcome you to the program All About Television. It's our second 3 episodes we are doing this big holiday week, and we invite you to stay with us. We have some wonderful people ahead over the next 9 minutes, and the show gets better when you are involved. 40 degrees at the top of the hour, and here's how you get involved. What you do is you give us a call. If you have any questions or comments for any of our guests, you use your voice, then use this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. That number's good anywhere you're catching across the country or around the globe right here on Blog Talk Radio. We have a chat room open for business, too. It's 7Apple04 by name. You can find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. Get in the room. We appreciate what you have to say there. And while the program is on the air, you can connect others by using Facebook's timeline feature. All you have to do is follow the Facebook icon on your Blog Talk screen, click it on, then follow the instructions, and other people can be live with you. Brad Roller, executive producer of Nightcap, will join us live from Los Angeles after these news note quickies. The Grammy Awards get a new host on CBS next February 12th. It's James Corden, the host of The Late Late Show. He replaces NCIS Los Angeles star LL Cool J, who was the Grammy host the last half decade. It says it's marathon time again at FXX. A 600-episode edition begins there Thanksgiving Day at noon and wraps at midnight December 7th. Somebody better wake Guinness up. There may be a world record in store here. And Animal Planet series fave Pit Bulls and Parolees will campaign for $50,000 in funding for a pit bull rescue center. The campaign begins this Saturday night with their latest episode on Animal Planet. And that is news notes for today. And now joining us live from Los Angeles, executive producer of Pop Network series Nightcap, which is on tomorrow night at 8 Eastern Pacific Time, Brad Roller. Brad, thanks for joining us. Happy Thanksgiving Tuesday to you.
Thank you, Simon. It's great to be on the phone with you. Appreciate it.
Very much appreciate our end too, Brad. And in fact, you got a nice appreciation from Pop before your first episode went on last week, which was a second season.
Yes, they were very, very excited by what we had delivered, because naturally we delivered the greatest material ever known to man. So it was kind of inevitable that they were going to pick it up. Now, I'm kidding, obviously. But it's very exciting. I mean, whenever a network has that much confidence and hope for your show, it's very flattering. And, you know, we came in, we're kind of like the little engine that could and put together this little gem of a show that we're very proud about.
You were doing late night television with Chelsea Handler at E! With her show, her long-running show there. How much of Nightcap is based on your experience there?
You know, there's no direct... Listen, I'd be lying if I said we weren't influenced by our time, because the other executive producer on this, my partner, is Tom Brunell, who is also the showrunner of Chelsea Lately. So, you know, yeah, I'd be lying if I said we weren't influenced, of course. I mean, we saw everything that happened behind scenes with celebrities and just our own day-to-day experiences of working at a late-night show. But what we really tried to create, and I think what we've successfully done, is a real workplace comedy, where it's not just, you don't have to be a late night insider to really enjoy the characters and the world and the problems that they face that, you know, that are being faced in other offices around the nation, around the world, but we just happen to have Gwyneth Paltrow and Sarah Jessica Parker and Whoopi Goldberg and Paul Rudd and Jason Biggs come by and in our little office. So, you know, it's a lot of fun.
Why do you decide to have Ally be a talent booker on this late night show as opposed to being the host or being the key producer?
Well, there's a couple reasons. One, Ally created the show. So she put herself as the talent booker. And we think that was a really smart idea because we've all seen the behind the scenes of a TV show. I mean, this is not what we haven't charted new territory here in that respect. Especially, I mean, even we did our show, which was a spinoff of Chelsea Lately called After Lately, which was a scripted show about our lives as the writers on that show. So it was, okay, we've seen this world before. How do we see it through a very different, set of eyes? And Ally is right. The talent, the one kind of at the center, wrangling all the guests, trying to, you know, deal with these crazy celebrities, and is actually kind of a focal point of the whole show, of an actual late night show. You know, it depends on whether or not the talent booker can book the big guest, and that's kind of what everything is based on.
Well, welcome Rick Webb, our good friend from Philadelphia, into our chat room, Simon Apple 04 by name. So if you want to use that to get your point across, please do so. You'll find it on our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/telehive. So give us a ring at 646-652-2906. Brad, how long was Nightcap in development for?
Not that long. I mean, Ally had come up with the concept and had put together a little sizzle reel, a little sample, and sold it to the Pop Network. And literally, I think the next day or so, my partner and I had a meeting with her because she needed some people to help bring the creative, side of it to life. And we spent the next, couple months. I mean, initially, they had wanted us on the air. I think that was like last October, and they wanted us on the air in March or something ridiculous. So we didn't have a lot of time. We were shooting while we were writing still in our little offices in New York where our set was. And there was only myself and Ally and my partner and then one other writer who was, and then Ally and the other writer were also both cast members. They were being taken away. So it was a real mishmash how it all came together. But actual development of it, I can't really pinpoint because it was kind of – we were writing and developing simultaneously.
Is compared to other sitcoms or compared to other comedies, whether you do them in New York or you do them in L.A., was it a very rushed production schedule, a little faster than normal?
Well, yeah, whenever you do a production, it's rushed because there's never any money and you're always you're always fighting that, that battle of, okay, hurry up, get great stuff, but hurry up. It's rushed. We were right in the center of Times Square. So there was that natural energy pumping, on our set and just the vibrancy of being in New York. But we only got our celebrities, for a certain period of time. So we had to be very quick when they appeared on set, because Ally would talk to all the celebrities personally. She actually booked the celebrities on the show where she plays the talent booker, which is the greatest. She did a better job as a talent booker for her own show, booking a guest, than I've seen any other talent booker on a late night show ever do on a show. I mean, in one season, she got some of the world's biggest stars, which is amazing. But when we had them on set, we had to be really quick and everything to try to get them out. But, TV production is always hectic. It's never relaxed.
Nightcap is the new sitcom on the Pop Network. It's on tomorrow night at 8 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time. It premiered last Wednesday, and before it premiered, it got a nice pre-Thanksgiving gift of a second season on the network, which will be happening next year. And as you heard earlier, it's produced in New York. We're speaking with Brad Walsh. He's one of the executive producers. He joins us live this half hour from Los Angeles on Tomorrow We Televise. Second of three episodes we are doing this Thanksgiving week. Happy you're aboard for the ride. Simon Applebaum with you live from New York. We're at 42 degrees. A bit on the windy side again today. here in the New York metro area. If you have a question or comment for Brad or other guests coming up, give us a ring, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04, by name, Rick Rowe, our friend from Philadelphia, already in the room. We have one more episode coming your way before the turkey pops up. It's tomorrow, another 90-minute show. We got a big one for you. This Friday, Nat Geo Wild has a mini-series that is amazing. It's called Savage Kingdom. We've got one of the producers, Harry Marshall. And then, tomorrow night, CMT has what may be the most unusual special you will see all Thanksgiving weekend. It's called, and I'm not kidding, Chicken People. Not Turkey People, Chicken People. But they will give turkeys a run for their money. And we'll have the director of this special, Nicole Hyman. And then, we've got the producer, the writer, and the director of the new dramatic special on BYU, that's Brigham and University Television. It's called Winter Thaw. It's based on a short story classic from Leo Tolstoy. You might say it's Mr. T's version on A Christmas Carol. And it's got the wonderful actor John Rhys Davies in the lead. We will bring you producer Ross Kendall, writer Joseph Clay, and director Adam Andreg. They're all with us live tomorrow, 3:30 Eastern, New Pacific, right here exclusive on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Grant, since you said this is more of a workplace comedy, was there any influence, let's say, Mary Tyler Moore Show, The Office, in terms of how you structured the format?
Yeah, of course. And not consciously in how we structured the format. I mean, format-wise, I mean, we didn't do any of the conventions of let's say, The Office, where they do the talking head interviews, confessional stuff. We don't do any of that. But, yeah, I mean, listen, The Office is an all-time great comedy. Mary Tyler Moore was an all-time great comedy. So, yeah, I think comedically it's absolutely influenced by that. I think the biggest comparison we get is 30 Rock, which is, you know, a real honor. We're probably a little more eccentric than 30 Rock even, if that's possible. But we've been compared very, very positively to that show. So yeah, I mean, everything influences. There's no original ideas anymore. Let's just get that out of the way. No original ideas. So when we get that out of the way, then it's how do we take you know, these areas that we've all seen and treaded over a bunch of times and make them fresh. And that's what we try to do on Nightcap.
Yeah, it's what fresh that comes. That's what I'm fresh. That's original. Ali, as a talent broker, puts all of these guests on, and they're on every, and they're guests on every episode. And the guest roster, especially for a first season of a show like this, is unbelievable.
On a network that's very wrestling too.
You know, people like Gwyneth Paltrow, Sarah Jessica Parker in Divorce, Paul Rudd, Kelly Ripa, Deborah Messing, Whoopi Goldberg, you mentioned earlier, Ali's husband, George Stephanopoulos from ABC News, Dennis Leary, Michael J. Fox, Mag Vitale, Jim Galligan, Janine Garofalo, Tim Gunn from Project Woman, Marissa Hargate from Law & Order SVU, who's in the neighborhood because her show was produced there. When you booked the guests, did they have the flexibility to improvise their role, or did they have to memorize the script like everybody else and then come on?
Well, you know, it's funny. We always tell people that they can improvise. Some actors love it. They love it, and they have the ability. But improvisation is very hard. And I think a lot of actors especially are so used to just doing their lines, and they're killer. They can deliver an incredible line, but when they got to be in the moment, it's not always as easy. So a lot of them to the script. But most of the people we had on were willing to push it and play with it. I mean, Gwyneth Paltrow, on her episode, I mean, she just plays a 180-degree different version of herself. You know, she's eating fried chicken. She's crass. She's doesn't even really know what goop is. So we just had a lot of fun with these people kind of going off the cuff. And you know, so, yeah, she did what's on the script, but then we said push it, and she would push it. And we kind of did that with everyone. And we're very kind of in the moment. On the set, we throw out lines and stuff. But yeah, everyone loves a script. Everyone loves a script to at least base everything off of, and then, you know, it's a good starting point.
Did you, and Ali and crew, did you form specific episodes based on certain guests? Because it was very interesting to see the roster of guests for each episode. And it's very eclectic. No matter which episode you turn to, the guests that are on, for example, when Gwyneth's guest shot, called A-List Thief, her episode. You've got Jim Norton. You've got Nate Berkus, the designer, who's been on Oprah Winfrey, had his own daytime show for a year or two. No matter what episode you do, it's very eclectic.
Yes, it's extremely eclectic. I mean, that was a big thing for the Pop Network. They're still trying to establish themselves and break out and get some recognition. So obviously what can help that is big celebrity names appearing on the network. So they were very, very high on us getting, a lot of these big names and as many celebrities as we could. So that's why they're such an eclectic group. But then when you really look at it, it's a real reflection of late night TV. If you look at the late night lineup, it's you have your big A-list star, then you have your B, and then you have your stunt guest. And so that's kind of what we tried to model it after. It was really eclectic. And sometimes the story is the celebrity, or sometimes we have the story and then fit the celebrity into it. But these were all people that Ali knew personally and called them, and they didn't question it. And she said, I need you to be on my new show on a brand new network that no one's heard of. Most people in the world would say absolutely not, and everyone said yes to Ali. And, I personally think it's the funniest show on TV right now. But I'm biased, so don't take that review from me.
What was Ali's game plan going into this? What kind of character did she want to portray as the booker? How did she want the workplace to function or dysfunction?
Yeah, I think, you just nailed it right there. It's dysfunction. The tagline for the show is "The show might go on," which is a great tagline because it's true. It's the dysfunction. When I used to work at Chelsea Lately, I'd walk in with the other producers in the morning. We'd all sit and laugh at each other because we'd have no idea what we were going to put on TV that night, but we knew we had to put out something. So we'd spend the rest of the day trying to cobble together a television show and dealing with all the personalities that come along with this world and Hollywood and everything. I mean, it's always interesting and always pretty dynamic. So, it's a lot of dysfunction. As far as what kind of character she wanted to be, I think Ali kind of wanted to be a stereotypical. And while that may not be the most commonly known profession, it is one where it takes a very certain type of person who has to play every angle, has to be a problem solver, has to be friends, is always saying whatever it has to be said to get the show on, to get the celebrity book, and, it's always juggling a million balls. So Ali kind of wanted to be that frenetic individual who is stuck in the middle of dealing with all these publicists and celebrities and you end up sacrificing your own life. A lot of these talent bookers don't have their own lives. I mean, they're literally married to their job. So she wanted to represent that and kind of be this lonely middle-aged woman who has given everything to the show, even though the show doesn't give much back to her, or at least the host doesn't. So that's kind of the premise we jumped off with and have been developing. But, what I really love about our show is we developed so much as we went along in the first season. And we started writing season two, and it's so much better to now come into season two having these characters really fully formed and to say, oh, well, Ali's character would do this or wouldn't do this, or the security guard would do this or not do this. So, we have a real advantage heading into season two.
Brad Roth is one of the executive producers of Nightcap. It's a new big series on Pop. It's on tomorrow night at 8 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time. That's the second episode starring Ali Wentworth. Ali has had wonderful experience both with sitcoms and also with sketch comedy. She was one of the players of the wonderful Fox series In Living Color back in the 1990s. Anyway, Brad was with us live this half hour from Los Angeles, and she was terrific, too, on that show, along with Jamie Foxx and Jim Carrey. She was one of the breakout stars of that incredible series, along with, and by the way, Rosie Perez, who's the choreographer of In Living Color, during most of the Fox, is a guest on an upcoming episode.
Yes. She was really cool, and she helped us out at the end on our last episode, so that was great. And then We had think too, Allie calling up J-Lo maybe from her In Living Color Fly Girl days. They knew each other, obviously. So Allie's talked about maybe reaching out to J-Lo to have her come on the second season. Do an In Living Color reunion.
Yeah, that would be a super idea. We'd love to know what happened to Fly. Well, Carrie Ann Inaba also, who was one of the judges on Dancing with the Stars, was one of the original Fly Girls. So why not?
Yep.
Let's have a Fly Girl in. Let me tell you about – I met the Fly Girls. Quick story. I met the Fly Girls when I covered the Western Cable Show back in late 91. It was before the holiday season. It was in Anaheim, California, near Disneyland. And the Fly Girls did a performance for Fox when they first did it at Western shows of it, and I had a chance to. And I still have my signed autograph of Carrie Ann and Lisa and everybody, Michelle Whitney, all the Fly Girls. It is a collector's item with Sean Wayans on the cover. And I love that show. Let me call it my favorite sketch comedies ever.
It was a fantastic show. It really was. And Allie still remembers it fondly.
Anyway, Brandon Wallach is with us. Frog Nightcap this half hour. If you want to be told, if you have a question or comment for him, ring it in. 646-652-2906. Or use our chat room, Simon Apple 04. But and Rick Webb, our friend from Philadelphia, is still in the room. We won't be with you this Friday, because, of course, it is the day after Thanksgiving. But we've got some nice people coming your way the first two Fridays of December. Coming up a week from Friday, one of our favorite people coming to the world of interactive television will join us, the founder of Interactive TV Today, Tracy Swedlow. She does the TV of Tomorrow show every summer in Silicon Valley. And she'll be doing it here again, the Big Apple, on Thursday, December 8th. Yours truly will be there in a very unusual role. We'll talk about that on the show. And then the following Friday, we'll talk about father-son tale. The father is a man named Andre Bohim. He was one of the key people who made Rawhide happen on CBS, first as a story editor, ultimately as a producer, twice. His son was the writer of the Emmy Award-winning miniseries for sci-fi, Taken. And we'll have Les Bohim on the program on December 9th. His latest work premieres that day on Hulu. It's called Shut Eye with the star of Burn Notice, Jeffrey Donovan. Les Bohim from Taken and now Shut Eye on Hulu. He's our guest live. That's coming up 2 weeks from, actually, yes, 2 weeks from Friday, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Brad, how insider is the show in terms of, and I'm curious, did the guests suggest any anecdotes from their own late night happenstances that made their way into the program?
Come again? I'm sorry, you broke up there for a second.
No problem. How insider is the show, and did any of the guests recommend or you offer any anecdotes that you incorporate into later episodes?
You know what? They didn't, because we obviously came with such a wealth of ideas that we didn't have any. I mean, we had celebrities go, oh, it would be fun if I did this or that. But they were very trusting of Allie and wanted, you know, her to do her thing and create this world or scenario for them. But, yeah, I mean, again, everything's influenced by things that have actually happened, things that we've seen and, you know, I think there are people who I know who, from Chelsea lately who watched the premiere episodes last week and were like, oh, I recognize that or that or that. I mean, there's little nods to late night, you know, real late night things here and there. But we really tried to make it its own standalone thing. And, you know, this is not an opportunity for us to get back at anyone or, you know, bring down late night TV from the inside or whatever. This was just about what a crazy, fun world it is, and that's why there's been several shows about it, and that's why they're all uniquely entertaining, because each workplace and each show is so different from each other.
Brad, we have a call, and we're going to take it. Hello, you're on Tomorrow with Televised. What's your name, and where are you calling from?
Hey, Simon, it's Rick Webb calling from Philly.
Rick, happy Thanksgiving Tuesday to you, and you're on the line with Brad Ball from Nightcap, so go right ahead.
Hey, Brad.
Hey.
You made it sound – you guys have, like, a lot of really cool guests on there, like Deborah Messing and Gwyneth Paltrow, Whoopi Goldberg. So, like, what's the etiquette or the protocol for getting a big guest on a show but, like, for just a short amount of time like you guys use them?
Well, here's the etiquette. I'll break it down for you. Allie emails them, says, we'll need you for 10 minutes. says, please, please, please do this for me. They write back and say, okay, let's try to find a time. I'll come and do anything for you, Allie. And then literally they came, and then we tried to keep them as long as we could to get all the shots. And then they would, you know, and then Allie had promised them 10 minutes, so they were confused, trying to escape before we let them. But the etiquette is really, I mean, in something like this, at this level, it really is favor related, especially on the first season of a show, on a, like I said, on a network that no one knows about. I mean, it really is favors. Everyone who was on the show, all the big stars are friends with Allie. And she reached out to them personally. Other ones that she didn't know, I reached out to, or others reached out to. But it really is a favor situation because you're not paying these people, you know, what they would normally command maybe on a show. So this is hey, I'll help my friend out.
Cool. Well, it definitely looks funny, and I just took notes, and so just say that you only need them for 10 minutes, and I guess turn the clocks back.
Yeah, basically, as here's the secret to producing television or anything: just lie to get them there, and then deal with it once they're there. better to beg for forgiveness than ask for permission. You know.
Cool. Awesome. Well, best wishes with the show. I'm definitely checking it out.
Thank you.
Dig it so far. So
please
thank
too.
You. And thank,
awesome.
Thanks, Simon.
You're very welcome, Rick. Take care. Rick Weber, friends of Philadelphia, right here on Tomorrow We Televise. Nightcap. It's the new series on Top Network, which has already gotten a second season. You can catch the second episode tomorrow night, 8 p.m. Eastern and Pacific Time. Check your local list of where Pop is in your area, available on cable and satellite. For more details about the program online, here's where you go, poptv.com. It's poptv.com, and Pop is owned by Lionsgate and CBS. And Lionsgate, by the way, that created and actually distributes the series for Pop. Nightcap, again, a Lionsgate Television production. Fred Wallach, executive producer on the show. It's been a fun time having you on. Happy Thanksgiving to you, Allie, the rest of the cast, and your crew. Congratulations on
Thank
the first
you.
Season, the second season. And if you get that Fly Girl reunion, I'm there. You just drop me a
All
line.
Right,
if you get that
good.
Reunion, I'm there on the set in New York.
Sounds good, Simon. You'll be the first one to know about it.
You got it, Brad. I'm very happy Thanksgiving
right.
again. Take care.
Thank you. You too. Happy Thanksgiving. Thanks for having me on. Watch Nightcap.
You're welcome.
All right. Bye-bye.
Brad Mogg, executive producer of Nightcap, joining us live from Los Angeles. Once again, the program is on tomorrow night, 8 p.m. Pacific time, produced by Lionsgate Television on Pop Network. And again, poptv.com gives all the information online. More tomorrow show live, including our classic trivia question of the week. But first, some words from the fine folks at Audible.com. The Daily Show and Jon Stewart, its wonderful host for many, many years, has a book out, an audio book about the making of the show and what Jon Stewart has been doing ever since. It's a rip-roaring read, and you can hear it now through Audible.com. It's one of the more than 1,800 titles you can choose from for a 30-day trial if you go to audibletrial.com/televised. Audible.com is an incredible place for spoken audio entertainment, information, and inspiration. Like I said, 180,000 titles to choose from at any given time, 24/7. And you can listen to any audiobook on any device, including whatever you're hearing us on right now with Blog Talk Radio. Remember, you sign up at audibletrial.com/televised. That's audibletrial.com/televised. You get one free audiobook like The Daily Show by Jon Stewart and a one-month trial of the service. And the customer service is absolutely phenomenal. Why? Because audible.com is owned by amazon.com. So check it out. Audibletrial.com/televised, and you'll see why and hear why Audible.com is the best spoken audio entertainment around and why it gives you great sound 24/7. This is Tomorrow We Televise. We are on the program All About the Tube. Happy to have you with us. Second of three Thanksgiving week episodes we're doing. First one was yesterday. One more coming up tomorrow, 90 minutes in late. And we've got another great hour in store for you. And coming up when we get back from a quick break, we've got the people behind, actually a wonderful tech expert who's doing her thing on television through the world of news inserts. Tech Candidate founder and host Fancy Black joins us live again from L.A. after the pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. You are connected to the best internet radio in the universe. It's www.blogtalkradio.com. More than 25 million listeners around the world every month and growing. It's your home for the Real Weird Sisters. Check out how weird they are weekends exclusively on Blog Talk Radio. Remember, best PTR available 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to Robbie Tovine, Thanksgiving Tuesday edition for 2016. Simon Applebaum here with you live from New York. 42 degrees at the top of the hour. Still a very cool time here. By the way, the outlook weather-wise for the Thanksgiving Day parade for Macy's on Thursday morning. It's supposed to be in late 40s, early 50s, or upper or early 50s, yeah. And maybe a shower activity or two. We will see. We'll find out more on tomorrow's program. Anyway, we have another hour in store for you on this Thanksgiving Tuesday. If you have a question or comment for our guests ahead, give us a ring, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple048. Incidentally, that phone number is good anywhere you're catching across the country, around the globe, right here on BTR. Our next guest is someone who is very well known in tech circles as a consultant, but recently, in terms of time, she has gotten involved in television in a very unusual way. She does her own company called Tech Tango Today, and it does a pair of news inserts that local TV stations run in their newscasts on a weekly basis. One is called Tech Tip Today, the other is App of the Week. Joining us live from Los Angeles, Francie Black. Francie, happy Thanksgiving Tuesday to you.
Hey, happy Thanksgiving to you. Thanks for having me on.
It's a pleasure to have you on. First of all, how many stations around the country are carrying your inserts?
Well, this is a brand new product. We just launched at the beginning of this year, and we have a total of 12 stations that carry these segments. So, yeah, it's a brand new product, and we're really excited about it.
And what are the stations? East, South, Midwest, Southwest, scattering around the country?
Yeah, they're actually scattered around the country. We have West Coast out in Palm Springs. We have Florida, Chicago, a lot in the Midwest. There's several in the Midwest in Nebraska, Fargo. Yeah, so we're scattered around. Yeah, Cayman Islands.
Now, why did you decide to offer tech information in this 60-second, 90-second news insert format? For those who don't know, many local TV stations, typically in terms of morning and afternoon, early evening newscasts, do these new inserts, whether it's Consumer Reports every week or The Green Grocer. Some of them have been around. Yeah. Mr. Wizard, Don Herbert did one that lasted for years. Why did you decide that this was a really good format to reach out to people?
Well, the way that it started is, I was originally from Los Angeles and worked in L.A. and then relocated to the East Coast and went on the consulting side of things. And one of the things that I picked up was doing a technology segment for an ABC affiliate there. And it was going to be a two-week trial to see, you know, how the viewers liked it. And so now it's been airing for 3.5 years, every single week for 3.5 years. And the viewers found it, what we focus on is, like, useful, quick tip information. And different than the news blast cover, hey, the Amazon or the Samsung phone is catching on fire. We're not going to cover that. It's covered in the main news stream. We really focus on really tips that people can use immediately, and we found it, you know, that people really liked it. It was useful information that they could use today. So after doing that for about 2.5 years with the ABC affiliate, we were like, they own that content. So we said, hey, let's recreate it in form for other stations that could use it as well. So we've been picked up by Fox stations and NBC stations, cable stations, and so forth. I mean, keep it short, sweet, and to the point. We give one quick tip on an app every week and one quick tech tip every week. And people are like, I didn't know you could do that. That's typically the response that we get. Hey, so for example, an app that we recently covered is one that's called Presence. And you can use your old smartphone to install a free app called Presence, and it turns it into a video surveillance system to monitor your home or your pet. And it's a free app. You got an old smartphone sitting on the shelf or in the closet, you know, why not have it watch your pet for you without having to go out and, you know, spend $100 to go buy a new system? So that's one that was really popular. Narrate is a new app that just came out by Dolby Laboratories. They have a free app where you can, if you're doing videos using your smartphone like we all do, and you want to narrate over it instead of having to take it into, you know, iMovie or whatever movie editing app you're using, you can do narrations right over your video very quickly and easily for free from Dolby Laboratories. So we just introduced, we're sort of like an app discovery service. It's relevant, useful, quick tip. Hey, I didn't know I could do that on that app, or hey, I didn't know that app existed. So they're not necessarily hard things or difficult things. It's just that there's consumer overload. You know, I lost track of the number of apps there are out there now, and it's just hard to know what's there and what's useful. So we give a little app discovery each week.
How long did it take you, Francie, to master the idea of boiling down information about a particular technology or a particular app into 45 seconds or so?
Yeah, well, it took me a while to actually formulate it. I knew there's a need. In my corporate world, I worked for a big biotech in Los Angeles for a long time, managed their internet development, and I was often the liaison between the tech world and the end user world. So bridging the gap between technical and useful. So I knew that existed, and that's how I started the tech segment with the ABC affiliate. I was able to do that. To boil it down to 45 seconds and to get it in a format that's clean, short, it actually took me a while to formulate that. I mean, over a year, probably 2 years really, to formulate it into a format that sounded good, was relevant to people, where they can get the, you know, see the problem, see the benefit. So it's a little tricky. And I like to talk long, so for me to boil it down to short was pretty hard.
Francie Black is the host of two news insert series that are around on local TV stations around the country. One is Tech Tip Today, and the other is App of the Week. And she runs her own firm for both. It's called Tech Tango Today. She has a website, too, which is techtangotoday.com. She joins us live from Los Angeles this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. I'm Appleman with you from the other side of the U.S. of A. That's New York, where it's 42 degrees at the top of the hour. Happy you're with us on this Thanksgiving Tuesday, 2016. You have a question or comment for Francie? Give us the ring, 646-652-2906. Or use our chat room, SimonApple04. My name coming up later this half hour, our Crime Trivia Question of the Week. If you're first with the correct answer, you can win I Was Saved by the Bell, the new book by the executive producer of that classic NBC Saturday morning series, Peter Engel, who was on this program several weeks ago, as well as Twin Peaks FAQ, all about the classic 1990s ABC mystery series that is coming back on Showtime. If you didn't hear the news, Showtime is going to stream the first two seasons of that original series from ABC in January. So you can find out more details when going to Showtime's website. I believe it's showtime.com or showtime.net. Francie, let's talk tech. We know now that half the American public has a smart TV set or a smart TV device, like Roku, Apple TV, Google Chromecast, so on and so forth. What's your sense about how they are doing in terms of we, the public, being able to use them to their fullest extent?
Yeah, that's a great question. Like you said, 50% of TVs that ship right now are smart TVs. And I think the number is roughly 50% either have a smart TV or a connected device, Roku and Apple TV. The numbers, in terms of viewing digital data, the numbers that I have is still the number one viewer for digital data is still the computer. Okay, so number one is still the computer. Number two is mobile devices, so that's tablets and phones together. And then number three is actually connected TVs, so either smart TV or a connected TV via one of those Rokus or devices. So how's the app economy going on the smart TV? I read and hear a lot of different things. That when I survey my viewer base, most of them are not yet using the smart TV app. Now, they know they exist. They might surf through it, but it's not their number one choice for viewing that type of information yet. So, for instance, I was with a friend yesterday, actually, and she's a smart TV, and I said, hey, you have a smart TV, right? She goes, yeah. I go, how often do you use the app on your TV? And she goes, never. Now, that's a small sampling, but the number states that the TV app economy is going to be $14 billion within the next couple of years. So the attraction, as more TVs ship, more people are couched in their comfortable environment with their remote as opposed to a laptop or sitting at their office desk, it's definitely going to continue to grow. The attraction to it is the ability to, I think this is one attraction to it, is that you can sit, on your couch or in your living room and have conversations with your friends and family while you're watching a sports game, and you can buy the team sports shirt, you know, right there while you're watching the game. You don't have to go to a new website. You don't have to click off of the show you're watching. You can buy the sports shirt, or if it's a TV show and you like the girl's sweater, you might be able to purchase that sweater right then and there from the supplier and have it shipped to you. So you're going to have this integration of, and it's already happening, but this integration of show plus purchasing power plus consumer feedback. Ooh, that's a great sweater. Let's buy it, but never leave the show. So it's kind of the merging of sites and viewing websites, entertainment websites, and it's combining those. And, you know, it's not going to go away. It's really evolving. It's really an emerging market, and I think we're just seeing really the start of that. So,
we're getting a lot of anecdotal evidence, Francie, that people are watching Netflix and Hulu and Amazon and Crackle, all of these what I now call next-generation programming services. I hate using the word over-the-top, because over-the-top is not, is really a misnomer, because they're going through the television set. And the sense is that more and more people are watching those services through the TV set, through the smart TV or the smart device. And it seems that the next level, the one that, for example, Tim Cook out of Apple TV is betting on in part, is that people are going to interact and transact with the set. When Apple TV 2.0 came out last October, there were about 1,000 apps. Here we are over a year later, and it looks like we're near 9,000 apps. And now we have Airbnb and Zillow, and you can order pizza from Papa John's. You can order tickets for entertainment sports events through StubHub. A quarter of the apps are games. What's your sense of this kind of app, the transactional interactive app, where a service like an Airbnb or a service like or something like Papa John's, for example, is something you use frequently?
Yeah, I think that's what's totally appealing about it, and that's what's going to become mainstream. Totally, I think that's just that is at its infancy. It's you know, that's where all the transactional. That's where that 14 billion number that I quoted is coming from. It's because of the interactive transactional television. You don't have to go. You can be, you know, viewing and shopping at the same time. So I think that's where the value is. But, you know, I don't know, like for me, for Airbnb, I have property on Airbnb. I don't know if I'm going to sit in my living room and do an Airbnb, you know, that. I'm more interested in watching an entertainment show and buying the sweater or buying the jewelry or buying the jersey, you know. And that's just me. That doesn't mean everybody else is. But, you know, unless you're having a group discussion about what you're going to, what rental property you're going to use on Airbnb. So I hope they do great on there. I'd like it because I have property on Airbnb. But, you know, I think that transactional interactive is what's appealing about it, and that will continue to escalate. But most TVs, you're right. The base apps that ship with most TVs are Netflix, Hulu, YouTube. You might get Amazon Prime. That's sort of the base level of apps. That's what's shipping on most TVs now. These specialized apps like the Airbnb, the Zillows, you know, those are still evolving. But I also think that it's confusing a little bit, and I'd be interested in your take, but I see that people are even confused right now in Apple's environment because you have an app store for a mobile device, you have a computer app store, then you have the Apple TV app store, and then, you know, you even have an so even within the mobile phone, you have an iMessages app store. So Apple alone has at least four app stores. And so where do they cross? Where are they unique? Where does one work in one platform and not on another? I think that becomes very confusing, not only from an Apple's perspective, but then when you start mixing in, you know, all of Google's, and then on the smart TVs, nobody has the same. Everybody has a unique platform. So what's going to have on an Apple TV versus a LG TV, you know, smart TV, or a Samsung TV, or a Sony TV? You know, they're not all going to be there. So, you know, it's interesting how it's going to play out, and it's still emerging, and everybody has their unique take on it, but there's no one standard. I was shopping in Best Buy over the weekend, And when you go into Best Buy, you know, probably 80% of the TVs that ship are either a smart TV. Some of them have just the base apps, Netflix, the Hulu, the YouTube. Some might have the Amazon Prime. And then there's a handful that have, you know, the full suite of apps, you know, unique apps. The Samsung or the Sony has, you know, I think it's maybe 2,000 apps or something like that. But I asked the gentleman that was working in the TV and the electronics department, I said, so what are customers looking for? Are they looking for a specific app? Do they buy a TV because it has a specific app? And he said, never. He said, they're looking for size, number one, picture quality, and the most important thing for everybody is the balance of those two things against price. So, and what the best perceived savings is. So his take was, you know, that people aren't coming in saying, I want a smart TV that has these three apps or these unique apps. They all have Netflix, Hulu, and YouTube. But when you get into the specialty apps, you know, nobody's coming in shopping for a TV that has that app. It's more, it comes with it or has the access to it. So, you know, it's sort of a side effect of the TV as opposed to a shopping point for the TV. I don't know if that made sense the way I said that.
Black Friday is this Friday, Francie. How big a deal are the smart TV makers or devices like Roku and Apple TV going to make Black Friday and Cyber Monday, the Monday after, in terms of spreading the word about, hey, we have these smart devices, they're cool, and we have these apps that are cool to use?
Yeah. Well, I think Apple TV is clearly going to do that. So those are making any TV or almost any TV a connected TV. So it kind of makes a typical TV a smart TV. I mean, that's what they're all about. The numbers on those are huge. I don't have them off the top of my head. But, you know, Apple TV, I think, is number one. Roku is, I think, number two. Amazon, I can't remember the numbers off my head, is number three. But Chromecast, I forget which one's three and four. But anyhow, you know, that's where they're selling value for any TV, as long as it has an HDMI port. And having unique apps, I think they're gonna pitch that. Now, I think when you hear it, it's a smart TV or you have all these apps, that's great. But are you going to watch and play all those apps today? Maybe not. Maybe in a year from now. Or the millennials, they will totally watch that. The other generations may not, you know, be as in tune to turning those in, but today. But it doesn't mean they won't be either. So I think that, you know, it's definitely an emerging market. And again, I think that interaction is going to be huge. And people become more comfortable with it, find the stations that they want, and curate their package of content. I think that's the real value in these smart devices, is that you can curate the content that works for you versus, say, a Dish Network or something that has, I don't know, if you've got like 250 channels, half of them are music. DirecTV has, you know, a lot of it's music, but you can't necessarily curate so much of your own content, and that's what you can do with these devices because you're getting what works for you. So, and then it'll be really great, you know, when you start shopping on those apps and you're, you know, watching TV and buying everybody's Christmas presents while you're watching, you know, a show together.
Yeah. Francie, we have a call. We're going to take it. Hello, you're on Smarty Televised. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hi, Simon. It's Rick Webb from Philadelphia.
Rick, welcome back to those people who have joined us in this last half hour. And go ahead and speak with Francie.
Thanks, Simon. First, I just wanted to say, like, I grew up loving the Green Grocer, and I always thought it was amazing how every city thought that the Green Grocer was in their city, but yet he was in every city. And so I just wanted to wish you, Francie, like best wishes with your show. But anyway, I find it amazing, like, you're already on 10 different stations across the country. And I'm just wondering, like, how does that work? Do you just call around to every station, or do you have, like, a licensing agent, or, like, how does that happen?
Well, that's a great question. A little bit of a trade secret there. We do a mixture of things. We do some, you know, calling on stations. We do a variety of things. We have referrals. We get out there. We do some trade shows. You know, there's really a variety of things. At this point, we have not worked with a licensing agent. We have people that have inquired about that. We're open to that for sure. What we have found and those that we've spoken to has become one piece of a large package. And because our product is very unique, we're not the typical product that's out there. We're a unique product, and we're a current product. We're not, you know, like the Dr. Oz or the health content, you know, tip that, you know, talking about Alzheimer's or something like that that can be recycled, you know, this year and next year. Ours is not. Our content is very fresh. It's very relevant. It's current. It solves people's problems immediately. We target mass consumers. But we are a unique product. So when we get with it, when we've talked to licensing agents to this point, we find that we're one piece of a large package and they don't sell us uniquely enough. So at this point, we're certainly open to it. If we found the right one, we'd love it. We just haven't found the right ones at this point. So, so we're growing and it's good. We know there's a need for it. And I think one of the things that people see is they recognize the value. And it's not, again, it's not things that are necessarily difficult, but there's too much technology. So it doesn't matter your age. It doesn't matter your intelligence or your affinity with tech or non-tech. We really try to bridge those gaps and just provide tech tips that solve people's problems. One that we just did, we filmed it just this week or last week actually, and I think it's going to be airing next week, is a simple tip. It's actually been around for, this particular one's been around for a little while, but just if you're shopping this holiday season for a big ticket item on Amazon, just take that Amazon link, copy it, and paste it into Camel, and you can see the price trend to know whether or not you're getting a good price or a bad price on it, or if you're somewhere in the middle. So if you're buying, the example we used, I think, was a Sony camera. You know, you can see where you are, and you can see when the price trend of that. It drops every July. So for the last 2 years, those Sony cameras have dropped in July, so if you can hold out, if you're not buying it for a Christmas present, you might want to hold out till July to buy that. You'll get $150 off of it. So that's just a quick tip, but people love it because it's helping them save money. So it's relevant. They can use it today, and that's really what we try and focus on.
Cool. Well, best wishes. And anything you can do to help people's parents learn more about tech tips as well would be awesome. So thanks a lot.
Yeah, you know what? Thank you. I appreciate the feedback. I really do. You know, one of the things that he just said about parents, you know, it's funny. Even we have a lot of people that come up to us and talk to us, and it's really a wide range of ages. And, you know, if we tell a 25-year-old who's single and has pets at home and is, you know, starting off in their first job and they have an old smartphone, they don't know that they can turn that into a security camera and watch their pet. They're like, oh, my gosh, that's great. I didn't know that. And so that's really great for them. The older folks, you know, they have more money to spend, so they might go out and buy the security camera. But anyhow, so it really does a wide range, which I think is, you know, part of what makes it appealing.
Cool. Well, best wishes and have a great Thanksgiving. And thank you, Simon.
You're welcome, Rick. Thanks again. You got it. Rick Redlock, friend from Philadelphia, here on Tomorrow We Tell Lies. There's so much more we could cover, Francie. We didn't get to virtual reality. Our augmented reality is placed in the television set versus the helmets and the goggles. Touchscreen TVs, which look like they're going to start coming out next year with people like Touch and Wave, interactive television, so on and so forth. Francie, we got to have you back. You're dynamite.
Oh, well, thank you. I'd love to be back, Simon. Have a happy Thanksgiving.
You too, Francie. Before you go, let me just let people know that your inserts are called Tech Tip Today and App of the Week. They're now carried on TV stations around the country. If you want to know which stations are carrying them, here's where you go. It's Francie's website online, techtangotoday.com. That's techtangotoday.com. And if you'd like to see one of your local television stations carry one or both of Francie's excerpts, please let them know. Write to them, email, call them, let them know, hey, I'd like to see Francie on my local TV station once a week and see what those local newscasters can do. Francie, a pleasure to have you on. Happy Thanksgiving to you, your fans, and your family. And we'd love to have you back soon. It's been a pleasure.
Would love to be back. Thank you so much, Simon. Have a great day.
You too. Take care. Great people out joining us live from Los Angeles right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. And now it's time for our Classic Trivia Question of the Week. And in the next few minutes, if you can come up with the correct answer, you can win not one, but two wonderful books. Either Saved by the Bell by the executive producer of that NBC Saturday Morning Classic, Peter Engel, who was on this program a couple of weeks ago, and Twin Peaks FAQ from Applause, all about the classic ABC mystery series of the 1990s is coming back next year, all new, on Showtime. We gave the question for you originally yesterday, and we're repeating it again today for those of you who missed out. Here it is. Complete the title of this 1950s drama series starring Charles Bronson. Complete the title of this 1950s television series starring Charles Bronson. Man with a blank. Man with a blank. Ran a year and a half on ABC. Can't tell you what Charles Bronson played because that would give the title away too much. So again, complete this title, Man with a Blank. If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Make sure you include your name and your full mailing address. If you're first with the correct answer, you win I Was Saved by the Bell by Peter Engel and Twin Peaks FAQ from Applause Books. But remember, you got to be in to win. So email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. Or if you're into Twitter, and those 180 characters or so, use Twitter and this hashtag, TWBT. It's hashtag TWBT. The Twitter office is made available by the wonderful people at Hopscotch. The folks invite you to create your own social soundtrack. You can learn how at www.hopscotch.com. www.hopscotch.com. Either way, be in and win. And if you just came in a moment ago to the program and you missed the question, no problem. We'll repeat the question on tomorrow's edition, our pre-Thanksgiving show at our regular time, 3 p.m. Eastern New Pacific. We'll also post it tomorrow morning on my Facebook page and on my Twitter hashtag at UBC Simon TWBT. That's at UBC Simon TWBT. Remember, in order to win, you got to be in. So get in the game and all the very best. Anyway, this is Tomorrow Televised, pre-Thanksgiving edition, where it's the second of three shows we're doing on this Thanksgiving week of 2016. Simon Applebaum here with you live from New York on Blog Talk Radio. Delighted you're with us for the ride. We've got more show to go. We're on for 90 minutes today, and we're on for 90 minutes tomorrow. Big pre-Thanksgiving edition coming your way on Wednesday. We've got the producer of Nat Geo Wild's new miniseries, Savage Kingdom, premieres on Friday night. That's Harry Marshall. Then from perhaps the most unique special that will run all Thanksgiving weekend. It's on tomorrow night on CNT called Chicken People, director Nicole Himes. And finally, we've got producer Russ Kendall, writer Joseph Clay, and director Adam Agnew from the new BYU TV dramatic special. It's on Thanksgiving night called Winter Thaw, based on a classic story by Leo Tolstoy. The story is called Martin the Cobbler, and the performer is John Rhys Davies. We understand it's a very Scroogey Christmas Carol tale, as only Mr. T, one of the greats of Russian literature, can do it. So join us. That's tomorrow, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Televised. And again, we'll be with you Friday because we want you to enjoy a great full Thanksgiving weekend. But we will be back the following Friday with one of our guests, Tracy Swinlow, the popular columnist for Interactive TV Today. That's the website she founded. She also does the TV of Tomorrow show conferences that take place in Silicon Valley in the spring or summer. And the TVOT show here in New York, which will be taking place in the SBA School of Visual Arts Theater in Midtown Manhattan on Thursday, December 8th. I'll be there too covering it, and I'll have a special role to play. We'll tell you about that on next Friday's episode. And again, the following Friday, among our guests will be Les Bowen, the creator executive producer of Hulu's new drama, Shut Eye, which premieres that week, starring Jeffrey Donovan of Burn Notice fame. It's all coming up right here, 3:30 Eastern, New Pacific. That's when all the episodes happen on Tomorrow Televised. We come back. Back to Los Angeles we go. We're going to mark the 65th anniversary of Hallmark Hall of Fame. It's now an exclusive attraction on the Hallmark Channel, and it kicks off its Hallmark Channel exclusive run this Saturday night with a movie called A Heavenly Christmas. Jack Rosebar and Linda Kent join us live as the executive producers, and they're with us after we pause at the top of the hour for web identification. This is www.blogtalkradio.com. You're all for the best internet radio around. More than 25 million listeners around the world every month. Join in. And it's your home for the Success Express. If you love financial freedom, check out the Success Express. It's coming your way an hour from now, 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific. That's 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 Pacific, exclusively on Blog Talk Radio. Remember, again, that's VTR level 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to the Bobby Televised on this Thanksgiving week, Tuesday, 2016, and welcome you, both of you that just joined us at the top of the hour. Simon Applebaum here with you live from New Haven, York. Glad you are aboard. Happy Thanksgiving week to you and all. And if you have a question or comment for our guest ahead this half hour, give us a ring, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number's good anyway. You'll catch us across the country, around the globe here on Blog Talk Radio. We got our chat room going too. Simon Apple 04 by name, so use it at your approval. And you'll find that chat room at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. Our good friend from Philadelphia that you heard from earlier in the program, Rick Webb, is still in the room. And while the phone is on the air, you connect up is by using Facebook timeline feature. Click on the Facebook icon on your Blog Talk screen, follow the instructions, and other people can be live with you. 65 years ago, one of the great TV perennials was born, the Hallmark Hall of Fame. From Hallmark Cards, and the whole idea of the program was to encourage people to buy Hallmark cards throughout the holiday seasons when you care enough to send the very best. 55 years later, Hallmark Channel is now the exclusive carrier of the Hallmark Hall of Fame, which is one of the awarded shows in all of television. Emmys, Peabody's, it began as live dramatic presentations, then on tape, and in recent decades on film as made-for-TV movies. The latest edition, number 258, premieres this Saturday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time. It's called A Heavenly Christmas, and it's got a great cast from Sex and the City, Kristen Davis, from Will and Grace Emmy Award winner Ann McCormick, and then the luminous Shirley MacLaine. Joining us live in an internet radio exclusive from Los Angeles, the executive producers of this latest Hallmark Hall of Fame presentation, Jack Sorsgaard and Linda Kent. Jack and Linda, happy holiday season to you. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks, Simon. Happy to be here.
Thanks for having us.
It is a pleasure. What makes this movie Hallmark Hall of Fameable?
Well, I think, number one, we should start with our extraordinary cast, and a cast that was attracted to this movie because of the quality of the script and the nature of the story that's being told. I think those three things together make this, shall we say, a cut above, which is always what Hallmark Hall of Fame has been.
Jack, how long was this movie in development for?
This movie was in development for about a year, I think, if I remember correctly. And it was always geared for this Thanksgiving. So it was sort of designed in development for this time period. So it was sort of like a rush on it as normal.
Because this is a big milestone, Linda, for the Hallmark Hall of Fame, it's been on all the key broadcast networks, ABC, CBS, NBC started back in 1951. It's had an incredible 65-year run, Emmys, Peabody's, some of the great moments in television history, from Anne Hall, The Night Visitors, to a wonderful made-for-TV movie called Promise that I saw when it first came out with James Garner and James Woods. I think one of the best, by the way, partnerships in drama I've ever seen. Glenn Jordan directed for Warner Brothers. Wonderful, wonderful movie. I think one of the great highlights of television that season.
Directed by a very good friend of mine named Glenn Jordan, who directed that.
Who came from New York. He was involved with a wonderful project for Channel 13 before that called New York Television Theater. And
yes, he was.
One of the really great, I think one of the really great television directors. And
yes.
I just thought that show should win every award in sight. One of the really great, great, and for Hallmark Hall of Fame, very unusual. It did not end the normal way that a film would for Hallmark. But, you know, when you think of the magnificence of Hallmark productions over the years, was there any special care that both of you gave beyond the casting and beyond the story to have this really fly?
Well, the Hallmark Hall, as you said, has gone from CBS to ABC, and this is the Hallmark Channel, Crown Media. The Hallmark Channel has taken over the franchise. This is the first movie for them. And they had to sort of reinvent, in a way, the Hallmark Hall of Fame for their audience. You know, in many cases, you know, the Hallmark Hall of Fame were Holocaust stories or historical stories. And
Often based on famous novels and
So they had
to sort of reinvent, you know, create a movie that, you know, fits
the audience that Hallmark knows, that are there for them. So
we had to sort of take,
you know, that into consideration while, you know, developing it. And obviously casting it in that direction with that in mind, which I think was done very well. We were able to, to bring together all the elements that sort of
made it special
and different from the normal Hallmark movies that air every Saturday night. And that's what they wanted to do with this.
And we should point out, too, that among some of the other great highlights over the years on Hallmark Hall of Fame, for example, were a series of dramas that starred Julie Harris, including a wonderful play by James Costigan called Little Moon of Alban. Shakespeare with Maurice Evans, who was one of the original founders of the Hallmark Hall of Fame in some of its early productions when it was on NBC. I mentioned Promise and quite an extraordinary list of made-for-TV movies with wonderful talent, both in front of and behind the camera. Jack, talk about this story about how A Heavenly Christmas came to be. Tell us about how the story evolved and how the idea came out.
Well, they wanted to do a story about, you know, a woman who, you know, was reevaluating
her life.
And the approach that we took was, a woman who is between life and death. And she's sort of on hold, looks back at her life and in the end realizes that all the things she's missing and the things that she let pass by in order to work, 100% of the time or 200% of the time. That's sort of the story they wanted to tell.
And the woman is played, Linda, by Kristen Davis, correct, from Sex and the City?
That is correct, yes. Yes, and she's absolutely lovely.
This is definitely a different role, a far cry from what she did in that series.
Yes, but, you know, a lot of the charm and the sweetness, she begins a little tough in this story, but her experience over the course of it definitely changes her. It's interesting because Hallmark Channel is known for their concentration on Christmas movies and also for doing romantic comedy. And when they look to do their first Hall of Fame that they generated internally, they looked for something that would be a blend of those elements which speak to their audience, but to take it to another level. And I think the casting of somebody like Kristen, who has a different profile, contributed to that.
And needless to say, Shirley is
the icing on the cake, you know. I mean, having someone like Shirley, you know, in a Hallmark Hall of Fame makes it special.
Is this Shirley's MacLaine's first Hallmark Hall of Fame ever?
Yes. Yes. It's all of their first time doing a Hallmark Hall of Fame, and actually it's all of their first times doing a Hallmark movie in general. None of them had been in a Hallmark movie before. So that was sort of the idea of casting people who would be special. So you want somebody who hasn't been on the network before to bring it to another level.
Yeah. How does MacLaine like to be on the set as you were producing the movie?
Say that again?
How is it like to have Shirley MacLaine on the set? What does she bring to the set in terms of spirit? Because when you think of Shirley MacLaine, you think of someone who is very spirited, very outgoing, enthusiastic, passionate, always shows it one way or the other on the screen.
Well, the word I would use for her at all times is totally professional. She is just a pro from the get-go. And she shared her professionalism with her co-stars. I know they loved working with her. Everybody was really honored. I mean, it was she was a legend, is a legend, and there she was on our set. So, you know, it upped everybody's game.
The movie we're talking about is the first Hallmark Hall of Fame presentation, number 258, for cable, specifically the Hallmark Channel. It's A Heavenly Christmas, with a cast included by Kristen Davis, Eric McCormick, and as we just talked about, Shirley MacLaine. And you can catch it this Saturday night, November 26th, and that is 8 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time on the Hallmark Channel. We've got the executive producers, and that's Jeff Grossbart and Linda Kent. They're joining us live from Los Angeles this half hour on Tomorrow We Televise. Sam and Apple will be with you from the other side of the U.S. of A. Happy you're born on this Thanksgiving week Tuesday. Second of three episodes we are doing this week. One more coming your way tomorrow. If you have a question or comment for our executive producers, give us a ring. 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Coming up tomorrow, another 90-minute edition for you, and we kick it off with the producer of Nat Geo Wild's new miniseries that premieres on Friday night, Savage Kingdom, that's Harry Marshall. And then, the director of what may be the most unusual special on any network this Thanksgiving holiday period is called Chicken People. I'm not kidding. It's called Chicken People. And to prove it, we'll have the director of that special, Nicol Hyams. And finally, from BYU TV's original dramatic special, Winter Thaw, based on the Leo Tolstoy classic short story and starring John Rhys Davies, we've got producer Russ Kendall, writer Joseph Clay, and director Anne Adnig. They're all with us live, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific. You'll be with us, too, right here on Tomorrow We'll Be Televised. Jack, when people think about movies or TV shows dealing with reexamination of life, one, particularly around holiday time, that comes to mind is It's a Wonderful Life. Was that a big inspiration?
No. Well, I guess the moral of the story certainly was the inspiration. But it was dealt with in a different way. But I think the moral of that story is certainly, something that could be identified with this movie as well.
I'd say the other movie that comes to mind with this is mm-hmm. Heaven Can Wait. I think there's a cross between the two.
And also, Heaven Can Wait has its pathos, but it also has a wonderful comedic romantic byplay.
Yes. As does this.
As this movie does, too. With Kristen and Eric, Shirley plays the angel, and Kristen and Eric are the romantic leads, it's told through their eyes.
To both of you, how soon into producing this film did the chemistry like strike oil?
Well, Kristen and Eric knew each other slightly before, but they clicked right away. Shirley didn't start working. Well, Shirley only worked basically on screen with Kristen. She didn't work on screen with anybody else. And she started a few days later, but everybody was very excited for her to make her arrival. But Kristen and Eric clicked right away. They liked each other. Like I said, they sort of knew each other, and they had chemistry instantly. So that wasn't the problem at all. We've done a lot of movies, and, chemistry is not something you can buy. It's either there or it's not there. And all the casting and all the looking at film and people or readings or whatever, you really can't tell till you get on the set. And you're lucky or you're not. I mean, this was terrific, and the chemistry was instant, and so you can sit and relax once you see that, because that takes the movie to another level.
Let's talk about the writers of this film. It's a threesome, and two of them are related in a very unique way.
Oh, they're married. Is that what you mean?
That's absolutely what you mean. That's as unique as you can get.
We have a wonderful husband and wife couple, Anil and Tippi Dabrowski, who Jack and I have had the pleasure of producing two other movies that they wrote. And the first writer on this was Greg McBride. and we don't know him. He was on it earlier, and but obviously has a huge influence on the script. And then Neil and Tippi, who have a very particular kind of charming voice, brought their special humor and wit to this, and also in more than one instance, a good tear in your eye.
Jack, we've had writing couples who have either written series, produced series, directed series over the years on this program. When you deal with people like Tippi and Neil, what does it take to make such a relationship as part of a marriage work?
Well, I don't get involved in their marriage part.
That's not in my job description. We work with them as two writers like we would work with anybody else, you know. Their partnership as writers and their partnership as a marriage is something they work out. And we deal with them like we would deal with any writer. Any partnership, writers, partners, two friends or whatever, you know, you're partners for a reason. You're partners because you finish each other's sentences and you think alike. And you're looking for the same things in projects, and your voice is similar. So
don't you feel, Jack, that when we've worked with them, we get one voice? It's not like we look at a script of theirs and say, "Oh, Neil must have written that. Oh, Tippi must have written that." It always feels it feels like one voice. They're very much on the same page.
We're going to talk about how Eric McCormack of Will and Grace Thing plays his role, and also a little more about how Shirley MacLaine plays hers. She's become, probably through this, she may become a very classic angel character. We've had all sorts of angels represented in human form on television and on film, throughout not just the years, but throughout the decades. Were there any specific ways that you, both of you, and the director, Paul Shapiro, how they all worked to get a particular kind of performance?
You want to answer that, Linda?
Well, I think I can speak more to Shirley in that she had a very strong feeling about how she would present herself as an angel. And I think one of the wonderful things that she did was that she, even though she was an angel and was helping train someone as an angel, that being Kristen Stewart, she always remained sort of a warm-blooded, fully realized person. You know, you had a sense of who she had been on Earth and how that carried over into who she was in heaven. And I don't think it's a mystery to most people that Shirley is a great believer in things like reincarnation and afterlife. And so for her, the part of the joy was that playing an angel was just in her wheelhouse of things that she cared about. So it was very much an opportunity, but she played it in a very human way. In terms of Eric's performance, I think Eric really did a great job. He thought a lot about the arc of his character, who he was at the beginning of the movie and who he was going to become. You know, when we first meet him, he has very specific life issues on his plate that he's grappling with, and having the particular romance that comes into his life has a huge influence on that, and we start to see him change and become clearer about what he needs to do with his life and what his priorities are and where his passions take him as a result. And Eric was very, very clear from day one where his character started and where his character would go. He's very instinctual. I would, yeah, very instinctual.
Mm-hmm. Oh, for sure. Linda Kahn and Jack Rosbar are the executive producers of A Heavenly Christmas, the 258th presentation of the Hallmark Hall of Fame, now 65 years young and cooking on television. First on broadcast, and now starting with this presentation, cable exclusive through the Hallmark Channel. It premieres this Saturday night, November 26th, 8 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time. And Jack and Linda are with us live from L.A. this half hour on Tamavi Televised. Two more minutes with them, and we invite you to get involved with your phone call at 646-652-2906 or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. When Hallmark Channel started doing Christmas movies on a regular basis, or holiday films as well, a few other networks were doing it. Now you have Lifetime, you've got ION, you have Up, you have so many networks doing it, and yet Hallmark continues to have the highest rated Christmas movies year after year after year, and the ratings are going up. Already, the Christmas movies that they have been presenting before Thanksgiving have averaged, I think, around 3, 4, 5 million viewers. Why do you think Hallmark, in the midst of everyone doing, a lot of people doing Christmas movies, continues to stand out?
I think Hallmark has branded themselves before everybody else. I think they found a way to brand themselves by saturating the market with 12 or 14 or 16 movies between the first week of November and Christmas, and brand themselves as the Christmas network. And I think, you know, things about the difference between movies and series we've learned over the years is if there's going to be a movie on
every Saturday night,
if you watch a series, you know it's going to be on every Tuesday night at 8 o'clock or whatever. And that's what the networks did years ago. They had movies Sunday, Tuesday, Wednesday. People knew they were going to be there. To do a movie once in a while
is too difficult to do
because it's hard to promote it. It's expensive to promote it because you have to sort of spend average dollars to sort of let people know it's going to be there as opposed to expect it to be there every week.
And the other networks were doing them intermittently.
And Hallmark found a way of doing, you know, a block of them. And they do
wedding movies in June and Valentine's movies in February.
And they do it the same way. They saturate the market with those movies, and they're able to promote Countdown to Christmas or whatever the tagline is for the wedding movies in June. And I think they beat everybody to punch and now everybody else wants to try to be like them. And with the dollars so slim in most of these, you know, networks and not having big budgets, it's really hard to saturate the market, you know, and do that many movies for one time of the year. So doing two or three movies, it's really hard to attract viewers, if any of that makes any sense.
By the way, I want to welcome guests 1228 into our chat room. We still have a minute or so left in our conversation, so if you want to get a question in, get in the chat room or close us a call, 646-652-2906. Linda, when it was on broadcast television in recent decades, Hallmark would do four movies or specials a year. Is that going to be the case with Hallmark Channel, and are you and Jack going to be working on upcoming Hall of Fame projects?
I can't tell you right now. We have the next Hall of Fame planned yet, but we certainly have other Hallmark movies in the works, so we look forward to doing more of those. It certainly is special to be part of Hall of Fame. I mean, we grew up watching those movies, and to, you know, and as longtime television movie producers, it's sort of the gold standard, and the opportunity to have made one, and especially at a moment like this for the Hallmark Channel, where it's you know, kind of a relaunch of the Hall of Fame, you know, that's a wonderful, wonderful experience to be a part of that. And it's interesting when you say the four, you know, times a year that they would do it, and if you look at the way they program their movies now, it's very much in keeping with when Hall of Fame would air their movies, you know, tied to holidays and tied to the time, you know, the seasons of the year.
And Jack, what will be the next Hallmark movie that you and Linda will do?
We actually have a Hallmark movie on December 4th called Looks Like Christmas with Ann Paige, that we produce right after we finish this one, actually at the same time almost. And that'll be on a week from Sunday night. And it's Ann Paige and Dylan Neal, who starred in Cedar Cove on the Hallmark Channel. And that's the next one to air. And then, as Linda said, we have a few in development for next year.
After 65 years as one of the great perennials in television history, the Hallmark Hall of Fame goes cable exclusive to the Hallmark Channel for the very first time this Saturday night with episode number 258, A Heavenly Christmas, again starring Kristen Davis, Eric McCormick, and Shirley MacLaine. 8 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time on the Hallmark Channel. Check it out to see where that network is available in your area on cable and satellite. For more details about the program online, go to hallmarkchannel.com. Jack Gosparth, Linda Kent, thank you so much for being with us. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving holiday weekend. All the very best with your Hallmark Hall of Fame production and other shows you'll be doing in the near future. It's been a delight to have you both on.
Thank you, Simon.
Thank you. Nice talking to you.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
You're welcome. Take care. Jack Gosparth, Linda Kent, the executive producers of A Heavenly Christmas, the latest presentation of the Hallmark Hall of Fame, first one on Hallmark Channel, live from Los Angeles. And if you want to see some of Hallmark Hall of Fame's best productions, go to YouTube.com. They are marvelous. It is really one of the most awarded shows in the history of television, and you can check out why on YouTube and certainly this Saturday night. We've got one more 90-minute episode of Tomorrow We Tell Lies coming away tomorrow. Again, joining us will be the producer of Nat Geo Wild's new miniseries premiering on Friday, Savage Kingdom, that's Harry Marshall, the director of Chicken People coming tomorrow night on CMT, Nicole Hines, and the producer, Ross Kendall, the writer, Joseph Clay, director, Adam Agay, from Winner Saw on BYU TV premieres on Thursday night. They're all with us tomorrow at a regular time, 3:30 Eastern, New Pacific, here on Tomorrow Be Televised. If you came in late on today's episode, want to catch up on episodes you missed, go to our homepage anytime. It's blogtalkradio.com/televised. blogtalkradio.com/televised. And we invite you over the next 24 hours or over the Thanksgiving weekend, check out our podcast. All of our Blog Talk Radio episodes are there at iTunes.com. And if you have Apple TV, the iTunes podcast app. If you have Apple TV, go to your local Apple store or order it online. We love hearing from you. What do you think about the world of television, where it's at, what's going on? What about our guests today and what they had to share? Give us a wonderful email, simonapple04@yahoo.com, or find me on Facebook and follow me on Twitter at UBCSimonTWBT, at UBCSimonTWBT. However you check us out, we appreciate it. Why? Because what you say matters. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants, not necessarily those of Blog Talk Radio. Our production associate is Candace Williams. Andy Tell is Blog Talk Radio's general manager, the creator of this very enterprise, Mr. Alan Levy. Tomorrow We Tell Live is brought to you today by Audible.com and Amazon Company. Remember, a 30-day trial and a free order of the book, audibletrial.com/televise. For Tomorrow We Tell Live, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for listening. If you're on your way from here to Grandma's house or wherever on this Thanksgiving holiday weekend, please make the journey a great and safe one. Have a great time. And for everyone else, come on back tomorrow, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, you know where, Blog Talk Radio. Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.